Nothing's possible. Binky Mac on the track. DJ Sales. Iceberg the Great. Mr. Los Angeles. I'm here with the sister that's working against gang violence. You got Miss Bubbles. Miss Spring. Lady Slick. And Mary the Therapist. And Miss Mary the Therapist, man. She got that card for you. She wants you to sit down and tell her about how you feel. She makes sure you walk around feeling good about yourself. I mean, I need all the G's. YG's, OG's, double G's, triple OG's. Without y'all, we can't make it happen, man. This is our community. Our main goal is to reach the young children that are followed by the TVs and media. Special thanks to the commander for the elite gang intervention training. Special shout out to Skip Townsend for opening the door. Like I said, these ladies are here to help. They're here for gang intervention, domestic violence. Shout out to those who support. They're here for the mothers who lose their sons to jail and or death. If you with the movement, please check these sisters out. Like I said, Miss Bubbles, Miss Spring, Lady Slick, Putty, and Mary the Therapist.
Good afternoon and welcome to Swag Talk. First, I'd like to give an honor to God for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. And special thanks to our special guest this morning, for Sister Lita Heron, who's paved the way for so many of us. She's an inspiration to us, my mentor, my good friend, and of course, Springland's good friend as well.
Welcome.
So I'd like to start off with a prayer as always. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us another opportunity to reach the young adults. Father God, another chance to open up our hearts and our minds, trying to find a better way to help these kids change over. Today, our topic is going to be sharing dreams, trying to help young youth today with the dreams, trying to help them succeed their dreams. Father, I thank you for the dream that Dr. King had, Father God, and I ask that soon we'll have more men like King and Malcolm. And so I just thank you in advance for the prayers that I know are going to be answered and for the doors that I know are going to be opened. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. Welcome. Welcome. Glad to have you with us this Black History Month.
Thank you for asking me. Am I too loud?
No, you're fine. Okay. You're perfect.
All right, because I hear myself in my ears and it's really loud.
Okay.
So I want to be sure that I'm in order and everything's working okay. But thank you for asking me. You know, it's a very important subject.
Right. So Sister Heron, she's starting off our Black History Month. In fact, I must admit, because I don't like to tell stories, she actually reminded me that this was Black History Month. I know I need a pat on the hand.
Imagine that.
So our topic today is going to be about the dreams that Martin Luther King had and the dreams that Malcolm had and all the dreams that our elderly from the past had, and how they accomplished those dreams only for somehow for our generation and the generation that will come if we don't stop it, how they have changed those dreams into nightmares.
And destroy them.
Right, and how they're slowly fading away. So I ask the callers or the viewers to call in and give us some of their ideas. And really, basically, I also wanted some of the kids to call in and tell us some of their dreams and how we could help them achieve those dreams if possible.
Most definitely.
So on the topic, Sister Heron, I wanted to know, because Sister Heron also has a radio show called Gang Talk.
Yes.
And she's been on for a while, and in fact, that's how she started me, and that's how she started mentoring me. I went to her show, and I just fell in love with the person she was at that time. So I want you to share with the listeners today.
I'd be glad to. Yeah, because you know what? The most important thing I want your listeners to understand, I didn't get here overnight.
Right.
It was a process that started with my youth, who my leadership was, the people that I respected, the people that taught me the importance of my color and my responsibility to it, mm-hmm. because a lot of our young people don't understand how important their color is and how they respond to it, how that affects the Black nation.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so I have come from the good part that was really hard, you see, and I want it understood. There is a big difference from my youth to what the youth is going through now.
Exactly.
I probably was the last generation that had that substantial teaching, solid foundation, that was a community as a whole, a community collective. We had mothers on all four corners as our fathers, and there were fathers around because in the Renaissance, after our freedom, the Black family wanted to become a Black family. They wanted to know what that felt like, to keep mother at the table, to keep auntie at the table, to keep all the children at the table. That's something as slaves, we never got to experience that. So after we were freed, we started trying to build a family, solid foundation, keep our children mm-hmm. with us. So it was a serious effort in those days to do that. So that's who my mom and dad were.
Right. Okay.
They were the builders. We're going to show the world that we know what to do for ourselves, how to take care of our children, how to be real men and responsible mothers and women. Well, all that changed. All that changed. Actually, and for me personally, it changed in 1988.
I agree.
Okay, when one of my children, it started before then, but at that time what really brought me full circle was when one of my children's friends was killed at 13. So that happened in 1988, and it was horrific, it was tragic, and it was the beginning to see that things weren't quite right in our neighborhood
right.
to kill a child in broad daylight. I knew we had taken up arms against ourselves. And before I finish with the Black history part of it, because I'm not through with it, and really what I want our community and your listeners to understand, if you don't know our history, you don't know who you are.
Right.
And this is what's wrong with our children right now. It's easy for them to kill each other because they don't know who they are. They don't know the quality of their history, the things that we have overcome. And by God's grace and mercy, we're going to overcome this too.
Right.
See, because that's the spirit of the Black nation, is to be overcomers.
Exactly.
And our children don't understand that. They have a mission. They have an obligation, and that's as a Black individual, to overcome the obstacles that are always and consistently put in front of us. Joblessness, hopelessness, undereducated, underemployed, if employed at all. And this generation has kind of accepted that as if that's what their future is supposed to be, when my history says, no, you're not. You're more than that. And that's what our history tried to show the world. Given equal access and opportunity, we can do the same thing.
Right.
Not only the same thing, a lot of times, one of my father's days, you had to do it five times better. You had to be better at your skill because it meant your expertise would save your job from your coworker that didn't know half as much as you did. You see, so they had to position themselves in a place of authority that way because they knew that work inside and out. Now our kids are not looking for skills, they're just looking for employment.
Mm-hmm.
And what's frustrating them is their unskilled labor. There's hundreds of thousands of people in the unskilled labor market. So their opportunities to get work are slim and none. Then when you take away the equal opportunity that California took from our community, they don't have the choice of equal opportunity. That's what's missing in Los Angeles. That's what's missing in California. And I'm speaking about the Black nation.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Erin. Well, we would like to also welcome our other special guests. We have Robert here, and we have Simon here. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
What Sister Erin was just talking about was the joblessness and hopelessness. And Simeon. I think that would kind of cut off into your organization and what you do. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about what you're doing?
Well, I'm dealing with job training, job placement, etiquette class, and just basically waking them up to have a better life and a better opportunity where they can say, you know what, I can do it.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Because, see, somebody gave me a chance.
Right.
Off the top of my off the top, I gave a testimony. And after the testimony, they gave me $5,000 to open up my own business, which was gardening. So that gave me an incentive to go out there and make it happen. So when you talk about hope, it takes money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right. Bottom line.
Wouldn't you say it takes the skill first? See, because if you didn't know what to do in the gardening, they wouldn't have given you that opportunity.
Well, I didn't know nothing about gardening. Okay. I was going to hire some professional gardeners to do it, and I was going to be the overseer.
Oh, the overseer. Okay. That's an old dangerous word.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
we both get paid.
Really. Well, you know what? We do kind of have to laugh to ease the tension because it's not easy being us. It's never been easy. And it's not easy for this generation. And so I applaud men like you that are standing up and saying, come this way, because that's really what we're trying to create, is that brotherhood, that fellowship, bringing back to what it used to be, mm-hmm. when our men really looked out for each other, and in them looking out for each other,
I was protected.
And that's the way it was, and getting back to the Black history, as the men used their skills and went out and worked and were the breadwinners, we had four mothers on each corner, looking out for the neighborhood, looking out for those children going and coming home from school. And, you know, the joke is, if you did some on Mrs. Jackson's corner, Ms. Johnson on the far corner would know about it. And then both of them would call your parents.
Right.
And, you know, by the time you get home, you're getting the third whooping.
And that's where that line comes. It takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
And it don't take just the mom and dad. It takes the mom, the dad, the neighbor, and everything else. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, your accent.
Robert, do you have any input? This is our other special guest, Robert.
And Robert has a lot of...
When it comes to our future as the Black nation, I look at it like this. I'm a military veteran. Mm-hmm. And one thing, the economic war. If you pay attention to the prices on food right now, what has it done? Risen.
Skyrocket. Yes.
Okay, what has it done also? The gas pump, all of a sudden it just made a jump. They announced that last night.
Right.
What have the Republicans been trying to push? Raise the
Obama out of the White House.
No,
it's not
even all about that. Yeah. They're trying to raise the pay raise because it's like this. They're looking at the economic value. If I can get y'all to work for something more than what the peanuts I was giving y'all, maybe I can get y'all off my corners. But they forget they took the educational value from us.
Yes.
Because they do a lot of marketing against us with our own rap music.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't even know, because if they say Versace, 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 everybody young trying to run out and go buy Versace. But then they don't listen to the whole rap that he says Versace is the new symbol for Illuminati, the Medusa head. But see, that's getting too in deep what has been taken from us, who we really are. They took God's word, manipulated it against us. They transformed the Bible so many times. where we're lost. And it's sad because we have to teach our kids to right now to be the next senator, the next doctor, the next judge, the next policeman, to make an effect on the economic value. Because other than that, you're not gonna beat the beast.
So would you say our topic today was how the men of the past had dreams like Martin Luther King, and I say that the men today, not all of them, just majority.
You can say it. I'm a man. Majority.
How they don't give us dreams. They basically, how their dreams of the past have turned into nightmares now.
Right.
And the kids that we're working with, they're like stuck in the middle. They're like,
They don't know where to go.
I watch it. Well, today there are mothers, like single mothers, and I watch my cousin here, like with her kid. I don't have any kids. I'm just Mama Bubbles to everybody else's kids. So when I talk how Bubbles talks, and I know how I was raised, and I'm not saying my parents were perfect, but I know we were well educated, we were well mannered. But I know they cussed and fussed, and I know how to cuss and fuss real well. I do. That you don't. I got it down. I'm
we
very
believe
good.
You.
I wrote the book on it.
I think we all kind of have that skill.
I watch her as she's with her kids, and there's a difference because she doesn't necessarily have a man there backing her with her children, and she's like, "Oh, you got to watch what you say around them, and oh, don't cuss and." They're on a time schedule, and we do this and we do that, and that's good for this single mother.
Right, doesn't necessarily work for everybody else.
How many women are stuck, so-called, following these guys?
Yes,
you know, in our essence of what we're talking about and who we're trying to reach are these gang members.
Yes,
how many women are so busy buying these men's iPhone 5 or 6 as opposed to
taking care of
buying a kid some diapers or buying them a pair of $100 shoes. You know?
Well, I'm going to say it like this. In the Bible it says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. So when they killed Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Uri Hilton, and all these other black leaders, now we living in a time where it's going to be a rise up because everybody's hungry for somebody to lead them.
Okay.
And that's what these organizations that we're going to be building so we can lead them. Because anytime you put clothes on somebody, food on the table, pampers on somebody's behind where the mother ain't got to worry, and daycare. Right now I'm working on a daycare. My cousin is. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring his organization into my organization because I have a nonprofit. And I want to get a building where we can house at least 1,000 kids. That's, mm-hmm. That's jobs that right is. There in the right. city. We ain't talking about child molesters. We talking about screening.
Right.
You know, you ain't just getting no job up in here smoking bud and drinking.
That part right there.
Well, because
has to be a new set of rules written for this generation. And just let me say this. What's so unfair is that they didn't get that bridge that raised me. We dropped the ball. They didn't get the benefit of bringing that information to their generation. We took a detour. Our people took a detour. We thought a new cash cow had arrived. Our ship had come in. We're rolling in money now. We can buy houses. We can buy cars. It was a big fat lie. That's what the brothers tell me. I was tricked. And they're right. They were tricked. They were taken on a detour that took them away from the home, made them convicts, made them prisoners of the street, made them prisoners and captive to addictions. All kinds of nightmares happened between my generation and yours. And for us to be real and fix the kids coming behind us, we have to be truthful about that.
And
my generation dropped the ball.
And truthful about it, my brother, since we own truthful,
yeah,
we have to have structure.
Yeah, well, that's what was missing. That's what was missing.
You ain't lead nobody.
Well, see, that's what happened when we took the big detour behind the virus.
Okay.
The virus that overwhelmed, because that's what I have to call it. It's a virus that infected our nation and detoured our
objectives. I'm gonna say it like this: as me, as a kid growing up, I recognized I was a king. Okay, I recognized that I was a leader. I wasn't a follower. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
So I recognize that I didn't bow down to nothing or anyone. Anybody that got excuses why they can't help the next man, that's their fault.
Well, see? I buried a lot of young men. I buried so many of them. I, you know, the young man sitting next to me, Ashley, is a veteran. I can't convince the child of this generation to join the military.
But
you see, so there's some differences.
But see, can I say something about that? When I joined the military, I was actually lost in the world because I didn't have no guidance. Mm-hmm. And then when I joined the military, I actually came to find out it was a gang of people like there, like me, was running away from home.
Yes.
I wasn't getting away from the streets. I was getting away from my parents' BS. And, yes, I say for my generation, the parents dropped the ball. The parents dropped the ball because they was caught up. I can say a lot of parents be caught up with what the next parent has instead of raising their kids. It's okay if I don't wear the Jordans or that. It's okay as long as I'm here for you, quality time and love. Right. And also, you got to look at today's society. How many women run the man away from the house? When you get a good man, all the gangs and everything stops. Treat a person how you want to be treated, because kids only watch and mimic what they see. How we talking? I have 3 boys and 1 godson, calling my best friend, and I talk to them just like I'm talking to you, because they are men. They are my future.
Right.
And I let them know, do not follow in my path. I done did all the prison time, all of everything to change my life around, to show. And what makes it so bad, the father is there. Where's the mother? Somewhere in the streets.
Well, let me say this. In Los Angeles, women outnumber black men 40-1. Okay, so we have a shortfall when it comes to representation for our mothers trying to raise our children by ourselves. And what's been the hardship is that the detour took our men from us and detoured them in another direction, that they were going to end up in the cemetery or prison, but they were going to one or the other. And that's what I was seeing when I opened with what I started back in 1988. Those were bad times for us.
It really was.
Really.
But you got to understand, that was the system set up by what? The government.
But we fell into it.
The war on drugs. The war on drugs. And the United States was doing what? They was bringing all the drugs in at the time.
They allowed the black community to have drug cartels right here in Los Angeles. And those 2 drug cartels became the Crips and the Bloods. Mm. Let's be truthful about it. And what do drug cartels do? They kill people. They kill families.
No,
they destroy communities. That's what drug cartels do.
Okay,
that's what they do.
The biggest cartel is the United States, the government. The government set everything up. You can look the facts up on the war on drugs. The government set everything up, and we did what as a people? We took it and tried to manipulate it, and we failed. It was designed to destroy us.
Yes, it was.
It was dying just like now. You look at the new drugs that's in our neighborhoods. It's designed to destroy the black community. And like I say, each one teach one. It's like this. Somebody that knows Bubbles, see the change in her life. We're not saints. We don't walk that every day, but we try to make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's the thing, because everybody calls me Uncle D. I don't care where you're from, who you are. You got a problem, you can come talk to me, male or female. I'm going to give it to you straight, raw, uncut.
Right.
Because I wish I had somebody to pull me to the side when I was 16, 17, 18, and pull me to the side and motivate me and tell me the truth about life. not old, baby. It's going to be okay. No, it's not going to be okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, let me say it like
and that's
this.
The difference.
I'm going to say it like this, my brother. You know, I was brought up in a way where they say talk is cheap.
Action.
You know, action speaks louder than words. Don't be a complainer. Be a problem solver. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm at right now. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk about drugs, the system, and all that type of stuff. I want to talk about solutions. That's where we at right now. And see, what you went through, that's called wisdom. Don't take that away from yourself, my brother. That's called wisdom. Anything that we went through, it was for a reason. Because you're still alive.
It's I believe in fate and choices. Because no matter what you do in life, there's a good choice and a bad choice. And Newton law doesn't apply. For every action, there is a reaction. So you're gonna accept your consequences. I'm a man. I done made a lot of bad choices.
Wouldn't you agree that you're not the only one that made bad choices? I think that's a fair statement.
Everyone at this table has made bad choices. And that's why we have,
me too.
And that's why we have things like this that we can sit here and we can have these.
Yes.
I won't even say debates. They're conversations.
Open forum.
You know, they're not. You know, they're not debates. They're open conversations. There's wisdom. Everybody at this table has something to bring to this table. Everybody.
Right.
You know, and it starts. And it starts like. And the fact that you were very honest and said that the ball dropped in your generation. Not too many people will say that in your generation. And I think a lot of our generation. We know that.
Yeah, you do.
We know that, but no one wants to admit to it.
No,
and no one wants to grab us and bring us under.
Let me
and
tell
say,
you why.
Look, I failed here, but this is what I'm trying to do now.
My generation is overloaded with the apathetic that don't care what happens. They don't care what happened. That's the difference, not what's happening now. They don't care that something flipped. They separated themselves and said, oh, it's them over there. It ain't me. And even in the beginning, I had people tell me, well, you know, I hear everything you're saying, sister, but it's not in my neighborhood. Mm. And it's like, well, what are you waiting for it to get there? See, because it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It is coming. And I know ministers that have not been immune to this. I know church people that have not been immune to this. Teachers too, police officers, not immune to this. See, so what we have done is looked at the bigger picture, accepted the fact that we lost our unification because of it, because in my history, we were unified. That's the only thing we had. We went to our own businesses because we had our own businesses because we could not go to Tommy.
Right.
Okay, and it became black folks don't spend money where they don't work.
Right.
That's one thing that has changed in the interim. They have sold our kids out for a label that tells them, well, you're nothing if you don't have this gear. You see, so in my generation, it's like, oh, heck no. It's more in the world than money, and it starts with your black soul. You need to take care of that first because the world's going to kick it around. Don't kid yourself. Don't ever forget your color. And that's the message that raised me. And that's the message that kept me in my nation, kept the thought of unification in my forehead. We have to be unified to succeed. If we want to save our children, we have to embrace them, let them know that they belong to us, that we welcome them, that, as the young man said, we're going to find a place for them.
Right.
We have to make the place for them, open those doors for them, and let them see us doing that. And our kids are sitting around waiting for somebody
excuse
else.
Excuse me, can I speak also on that? And I noticed it's a lot of homeless kids today.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. It's a lot of homeless kids that think it's just cool to flop around in the world, sleep in a tent, push a shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
We're black people. We're people of color. We have always had pride in what we do.
Overcoming.
And that's one thing that's not, I don't see in the young generation. And because they'll sell each other out, they'll cross each other over for the smallest of nothing.
Right.
Like I said, my brother, there's no structure. I got to stick on that. Okay. No one dropped the ball because history repeats itself. If you know your history, like you said, know who you are, all we doing is going through a revolving door. Now the new this generation right here is looking for men to step up to the plate.
That's right.
And hit that ball out of the park.
But we don't want history to go too
no, no,
far
no,
back.
No, 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 no. Don't get me wrong.
We don't
Doc.
Want that
we're
to
not,
go.
We're not saying I'm not saying
you know what I'm saying?
Because I'm saying that.
Also,
All I'm saying, we were one time kings.
We're going to take a quick break real quick, and we're going to regroup, and we're going to come right back. Right on back.
I had to put that one up.
Welcome back to Swag Talk. We've had a little moment to enjoy each other off the mic. And so we could go back to our dreams becoming nightmares.
And bring them back to dreams.
Yeah, right. Well, but dreams can become a reality.
I believe that dream is coming back.
What Simeon
mm-hmm.
was saying, how he's opening doors. I was trying to find a way to open a line of communication with a couple of kids to start off with. And that's what I didn't do. A couple of kids to start off with and ask them how, what could we do to maybe make it possible for some of their dreams to come true. But pick some inner city youth, you know? And I thought that would be a pretty cool idea.
Well, what you just said is that I've been thinking on that too. Okay. And I'm going to break this down to you. See, the system ain't in our favor, right?
Right.
We're getting killed by police, shot by police, beat the whole nine yards. I want to educate the children and take them on a school, like a trip. Let them walk through the police station and let them be familiar with that. Let them walk through here. So, you know, get them out
exposed
of the neighborhood.
Them. Yeah.
You know, and let them talk to the police. Says, how you doing? What you think about, you know, when you shot that guy? You know, and right. Just the kids do the interview.
Right.
Like they
did.
Right.
It's ironic that you said that because I'm sorry before I cut you off, but how I want Swag Talk to be, how it's designed already. The last weekend of the month, instead of us sitting here, I plan on it to be kids from the age of 7 to like 15.
Right.
And have them sit in the co-host in the house seat and we just kind of direct them. And it's going to be starting not next week, but the week after that.
Right.
So I am going to bring the kids in. And I thought that would be pretty cool because kids talk to kids.
Yes, and they know
they
how
don't
to
only
kids.
Watch yes, us and yes. try to emulate us and the things we do. They'll talk to, so we could get kids to open up the kids, you mm-hmm. know, and then we could sit here and listen and maybe that could open up another way of us being able to communicate with these kids. And some of them are the kids that are at home by themselves while their mama is out in the street partying. So right. I just want to open the door and let them know that
you have a voice.
I'm not your yeah. mama, but whatever
somebody,
I could do to help you,
you
I'm
going to
do it, you know, while
you.
Your daddy in the jail cell and your mama
right.
in the street.
Because you're absolutely
know, so
right about
I
that.
Just keep hope alive.
They look for guidance. Because
we really do need to be speaking to them, see, because we have figured it out.
Right.
You know, us in the room have figured it out.
But they're still trying.
They're still trying. And you know what? They have the answers we're looking for. And we need to open that dialogue so they can tell us. Because the most discouraging thing is when I offer them assistance and I talk to their leadership, ask their leadership, well, do you think any of your friends, meaning his peers, are interested in what we have to offer? And that young man will come back and tell me, no,
no.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really.
Not now.
Yeah. Right. How do we reach them? We have to show them that we care. We have to invite them in, as you say, Bubbles, and let them tell us.
Let me comment on that one. And as me being, I was in the system, let's say that. When I was in the system as a kid, this guy, one of the counselors asked me a question. He said, have you ever had this type of fruit? And I said, ugh, that's nasty. And that's the same thing with the kids. Well, whatever, I ain't into that, you know.
See,
and they
right.
never experience what you're talking about.
Like you said, that's where the re-educating comes from.
Right.
We gotta re-educate them.
And now they're stuck on this gang-banging mentality. Mm. What was it, a couple of weeks ago, the King, Martin Luther King Parade?
Yes.
Well, we got off the float, and we got in a car with Pastor Cummings.
Yes.
And you could just feel the tension when you got to King and Crenshaw.
It changed.
And I looked
at
my cousin and I looked at the driver and I said, you know what? It's about to go down right now.
Because
I seen them. Me being a former gang member, I know
what
it's about.
You know what you're looking at.
And they followed this particular guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he need help. And my crippled self, I jumped out the van. And when I jumped out, she jumped out.
Yes.
But when I grabbed him, I'm like, you know, my name is Bubbles. I'm a gang interventionist. Come go with me. I'm trying to save kid's life. But in the back of him, it's his homies. And he's trying to front like, I don't want to go with no gang interventionist. And I'm like, I could have cost myself my life. And then they're like, you shouldn't have told him you were a gang interventionist. The way I snatched this kid, Did you not think I was going to tell him who I was? He could have killed me.
Right.
I didn't know what he had, but I knew or I
at
felt
the end, at
he
the
needed
moment
help.
That you, if you
he didn't
step
help,
in,
but people,
something bad would have
right.
happened at that moment that you reacted. And when you jumped out and snatched him, he might was getting ready to do something
right.
bad.
Right. And you
up.
Have to tell him who. And then he didn't want my him. Help. But what I'm saying is, I said that to say, I'm a very persistent person. He didn't want my help, and everybody's like, well, forget him then. But as he walked, I still told the driver, follow that kid. But what made me so upset is we followed him all the way to McDonald's. And mm-hmm. once we got to McDonald's, there's a line of police officers, like 20 deep.
Not doing
looking
nothing.
All pretty in their blue suits. Now, that's what made me snap.
Because
he going to tell me I'm going to go to jail. And I'm like, we're interventionists. We're not getting paid. We don't have no guns. But I'm telling you, there's a kid in there fixing to get hurt.
Okay.
And you're not doing
let
anything.
Me, let me comment on that one, too. Like I said, I'm more in a situation where I'm experienced information and I'm bringing it in as knowledge. I know how to distinguish. When I was gangbanging, I was working on my emotions. All gang members are people, period. Emotions is very high. If you say the wrong thing, they misinterpret it, yeah. and they go nuts. Instead of stopping, thinking.
Live on stage.
Okay, so by me being in the county jail, this brother said, have you ever heard of the Willie Lynch letter? I said, no, what's that? I was like in my 20s. And when he talked about the Willie Lynch letter, he said, you are fulfilling the Klansman's dream, okay? Or they prophecy. 400 years in slavery of that mentality of not knowing what you're doing. So I said, let's go to war with the white man. He said, no, you got to go to war with yourself.
Self first. Mm-hmm.
And tame that beast, which is your emotions, because you become predictable. And that's why police, they train for this. They know the public is emotional. And they know how to push your buttons so they can react the way they want to react.
Okay.
Because you got to understand, like I said, I'm ex-military, huh? With the thing that happened in Missouri or whatever they was, all crowded up
Ferguson.
After at Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't notice that they did purge, too.
Right.
Right.
They did purge, too. Then people started dying. But it was people of color. Young black male. Okay. They wanted the reaction of the black people community striking back with force. Why? So we can put y'all in the military place state of mind. Now, we're up under martial law. You can't go. You can't do this. Everything. I need credentials. We're controlling the system. And we didn't react, even though we got worked in several of these situations where they have gunned down the police. The police have gunned down us. And it's like some people are saying for how long, but you can't beat the beast at a game that's already there prepared for.
Can I add something in here? See, because we really have to understand our history and how this thing didn't just crop up at Ferguson. This has been an ongoing thing with the black community since Jim Crow was recognized, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's the whole story about Selma right now. Mm-hmm. Bull Connor operating the Jim Crow policy is to keep you down. Keep you down. Keep you contained. Keep you controlled. You see, so the Jim Crow policy happened in Los Angeles Police Department, too. Mm-hmm. So it's not a phenomenon just to Ferguson. It's part of our history and that relationship
that's
always been there.
That's why I talked about the Willie Lynch.
Yeah, the Willie Lynch. It goes all the way back to our whole entire history. It didn't just start in New York with Eric Garner and Michael Brown and Ferguson. It's been going on. And let me say something else. The smartest thing the Klan did was took the hood off and put on a uniform, put on a suit and a tie, went into the employment offices, went into the college admittance office, went put on that uniform with the badge and the gun. And they just let go of two active Klan members from the Florida Police Department just a few months ago. Okay, so
California,
we really have
one
to
of the
be
biggest states with the Klan.
Yeah, we have to see. It's their count when you say the Willie Lynch, That was to divide us.
That's right.
That was to divide us. Deliberately. Us. Yes.
If you look at it, it divided the families.
Yeah.
It separated the families.
Yeah.
Because what? And no matter what, that's just like I have. I told a lot of person know. Okay, God made woman from man's left side, right? What is the meaning of it? To walk by man, he didn't pull a woman from the top of his head, yeah. the bottom of his feet, or from the back, or from his chest. And when they did the Willie Lynch, the separation, we're gonna take the male, the power out of the male figure, and give it to the female, because the mother will do what for their child? They will do anything to protect their child. And we understand that it's generations of anger behind that, but us as a race, we need to find some solution to let go of the hatred between each other.
But it's not anger. It's not anger behind that. It's just that we're following the blueprint of that.
Yes, our destruction. It's a blueprint for our destruction at our own hands.
That's
the amazing change from me, from history to now. Let me say this, because going back to the Black history, when others were coming against us in Louisiana and in New York, there were organizations of Black men in Louisiana called the Deacons for Defense. They were protecting the village from the outsiders coming in to lynch men, to, burn houses, burn crosses. This organization of Black men stood in the gap waiting for them to show up. You see, that's the kind of solid protection we gave to ourselves. And even in New York, they had the same thing, because they had gangs in New York wanting to come into the Black community and do whatever. But the Black men stood in that gap, and they made sure that didn't go any further. That's what we've lost. We turned that kind of thing against people that look like us.
It still goes on so much because it was just on the news a couple of days ago, right here, Redondo Beach. Redondo Beach.
Thank you.
This a family.
Mm-hmm.
A family. A man and a wife and had three children. Mm-hmm. His house. The whole front of his house was burnt.
Firebombed.
In Redondo Beach.
Right.
Just him.
Right here.
Just last week.
Yep.
Right. And because it's like we say, history repeats itself, and they're trying to push us all the way back to where got y'all back in chains and shackles. Y'all was dumb. You did it to yourself.
Already in chains and shackles with all the brothers that are locked up in prison. That's a new plantation that we need to free ourselves from.
And that's why
I bet you I won't get any argument about that.
And that's where that new book, The New Jim Crow.
The New Jim Crow book.
Yep.
Okay.
We have two little special guests that we're going to close out with real quick.
Some swag children?
Bobby, if you could put your earphones on them and turn the mic their way. Is there a camera that maybe could go on the camera?
They can come over here. One can come over here. Mm-hmm. Come on, Daniel. You come over here.
Hurry up. We only got 2 minutes.
Come on. Johnny, come on. Let's go. Go over there. Somebody.
Bless their hearts. They're just so excited.
Go sit over there by Robert.
Here.
Come on, Johnny. Get a mic. Get a mic, son.
Yeah. No, I think maybe he should go over there by Simeon.
There you go.
Because he could be seen better.
Okay, go over there.
I want real quickly pull the mic down to your face. Okay, we're going to go with Simeon's mic first. This is Johnny. Tell him your name, Johnny. Tell him your name.
My name is Johnny.
And how old are you, Johnny?
My age is 7.
Johnny, what is one dream you want fulfilled? What would you like to do? What would you like to accomplish in your life? Real quick, one dream.
Like? A dream. Conductor, come on. Say something.
You ready?
What do you like?
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Okay, cars.
All right.
You like cars?
This one's ready.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one's ready.
Okay, Daniel. Oh, tell him your name. I already told him. Tell him your name.
Daniel Thompson.
And how old are you?
8 years old.
What is one dream you would like to fulfill before you're 15? How can we help you accomplish one of your dreams? What would one of your dreams be? But you have to be good to accomplish any dream, right? You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is one dream?
Cars 2.
Cars 2?
I don't think it's cars.
No.
I actually think it's, tell them what it is. What did I have to tell you guys to pick up yesterday?
What do you love to do? And you're really good with your hands.
He does his Legos.
I do my Legos.
Legos, you make things.
Legos.
So maybe one of your dreams is for us to take you to Legoland, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And what about this one?
Yeah, he said yeah.
And what about this one? What do you like to do? What do you like to do? What do you really, really love? Tell me what you really, really love. Oh, well, he can go right here. Come on.
You got to hurry up. We only got one minute.
Tell me what you like to do. You love it. You dream about it. Mommy, can we take you there? What do you like to do? Tell me. It has something with, don't get shy now. That's all we talk about. Can I make a piston? Trains. He's always messing with trains. Always. This is my future conductor here. This one is really good with his hands. So, you know,
the truth is there are a lot more opportunities out here for this generation than there were when I was a child. And we really want to expose the generations to all the opportunities. They don't have to be put in a box. They do not.
Motivation is key.
A lot of kids, also I noticed, like myself, talented in sports, talented, but I didn't have no support.
Right.
And that hurts at that age. You don't have no motivator. Your parents don't care. They're stuck on what they're doing. Right. They don't care. So what? You start doing what? Missing class. Start not even going to school.
And I'm very involved with mine. Monday through Friday, they're involved. My house looks like, well, it looks good now because bubbles. But because I'm going to school. I'm running behind them. They're doing activities. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm never that busy that they can't do activities. I'm taking them to doctor's appointments. Mm-hmm. They sing, they play drums, they have a sister. Their schedule is my schedule, you know.
In a way, the blessing is their generation are going to be the builders.
They are our leaders.
Because your generation is making sure. The men here that are here with us tonight are making sure that they get a chance. And that's what we need to be doing.
Right.
Locking arms and reuniting.
Bottom line, to cut the story short, with me, I'm going to be your big brother.
That's right.
I'm going to be your mentor.
And we welcome him, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the end of Swag Talk today. And we thank Bobby Buck, our photographer and my mentor and our friend. And show him your face, Bobby.
I've seen it already.
Okay, so we want to thank our special guests, starting on this end, Sister Lita Heron.
Thank you for having
Robert
me.
And Simeon.
Simeon. Thank you so much for taking time on you guys' schedule. And we'll be right back next week, same time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
God first.
Peace.
Without him, nothing's possible. Binky Mac on the track. DJ Sales. Iceberg the Great. Mr. Los Angeles. I'm here with the sister that's working against gang violence. You got Miss Bubble. Miss Spring. Lady Slick. And Mary the Therapist. And Miss Mary the Therapist, man. She got that card for you. She wants you to sit down and tell her about how you feel. She makes sure you walk around feeling good about yourself. I mean, I need all the G's. YG's, OG's, double G's, triple OG's. Without y'all, we can't make it happen, man. This is our community. Our main goal is to reach the young children that are followed by TVs and media. Special thanks to the commander for the elite gang intervention training. Special shout out to Skip Townsend for opening the door. Like I said, these ladies are here to help. They're here for gang intervention, domestic violence. Shout out to those who support. They're here for the mothers who lose their sons to jail and or death. So, if you with the movement, please check these sisters out. Like I said, Miss Bubbles, Miss Spring, Lady Slick, Putty, and Mary the Therapist. Sisters working against gang vibes. B. Sisters working against gang vibes.
Swag.
B. 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 B.